This program contains discussions of an adult nature, including sexual content. If you're easily offended, please switch off your radio now.
This is Battle of the Gods on City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, this is Battle of the Gobs. You missed a tremendous first hour, but hopefully you're going to join us for this one. This is an experiment in talk radio. It's a radio coliseum in which four of City Talk's verbal gladiators have come to do battle. We have Shockiest Jockiest, that's mid-morning's Duncan Barks.
Oh, Jesus.
Exothespianum, afternoon show host Dean Sullivan.
How very dare you.
Minimus Stakius, that's the drive-time host and professional gambler.
Let's
Paul
have
Jacobs.
Mine. Go on.
And of course, we have the veteran, Maximus Publicitius. Late night legend Pete
we
Price.
We like him.
These are four of City Talk's biggest gobs sat around a table, musing on the ways of the world, pulling topics from a hat. And the next person to pull a topic from the hat is Duncan Barks. Duncan, do your worst and read.
I didn't know you had.
I was just going to say. Well, after that introduction, I've forgotten how good your column used to be at the Echo.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you had a book out.
Did it,
Mr. Peter right. Price? You didn't know he's got a book out.
I've delved into the hat. right then, I'll put what that over there. Ladies and gentlemen, can it ever be okay to use a prostitute?
Wow.
It's a question on the piece of paper.
Interesting. For a male or a female?
Well,
either.
I think matter. Either.
Doesn't matter.
I think, Paul, we should start with you.
Okay, let me give you an example of an experience of mine. I went out with a lady.
With a prostitute?
Oh, stop it. For 2 years. Yeah. Who had been married for 25 years previously. And a marriage came to an end, and she brought down this independent curtain on her life because she didn't want to be touched emotionally by any man, in fact, by any person at all. And she didn't let anybody go near her for 3 years. And then we met up, and she told me her story. And she was a very independent, confident woman in her early 50s. Beautiful lady, very attractive lady, and a clever lady. And about 6 months before we met, she actually said to me that she contemplated very seriously using a male prostitute purely for sex. And I wasn't horrified at all. I was very acceptant of that. I thought it was an okay thing to do because she needed that part of her life. She needed that physical void to be filled. And whether you deny it or not, when you come out of a relationship in the first few months, the one thing you need to be filled is the physical.
Sorry, but it was the pause just left. And
what is your problem?
What's interesting with that is that, you know, you're talking about that woman friend of yours needing to fulfill or have that sort of physical side to make her feel whatever. Yeah? Is that what you're saying?
Fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I think there's a difference between men and women. I think men are more inclined to be able to have sex with someone that they don't engage with emotionally. I always thought that women needed to do that or wanted to do that rather than just having sex and for the sake of it.
Getting back to the question, I think you should use prostitutes. I think there's no argument in any shape or form, and I can relate to that woman completely in the respect that many years ago I had a relationship, and I never talk about this, but I was distraught after 6 years, absolutely, and went out looking for sex. And it wasn't because I was inadequate or I felt bad. I just needed to bonk my brains out to get it out my system.
It's a natural response. What was it?
I was feeling the emptiness.
Why had someone dumped you or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was awful. It was dreadful.
I needed to be wanted.
I needed. Yeah, I never talked like this on my show ever, but I needed to be wanted. Yes. And even if they didn't want
me. And paying for it was okay.
That was fine. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with that at all. Yeah.
First of all, I have to answer this question because we've done a.
Fair enough.
I have no issue whatsoever anyone using a prostitute. I think if both people are consenting adults, I don't think it really matters in any way, shape or form. And if it happens to be, you know, a straight financial transaction and both people are happy with that, who cares? What annoys me is the fact in this country, we're, when it comes to attitudes towards sex, we are stuck in the past. You know, we've got this Victorian baggage, which really shapes a lot of people's kind of mindsets toward prostitutes. The word prostitute itself is not a nice word. I've interviewed prostitutes on my radio show, and they don't like it. They prefer to call themselves working girls. Yeah. Now, you can argue that they're kind of like putting on some rose-tinted spectacles, because actually what they're doing is a form of prostitution. The definition is you actually give someone sex for money. I interviewed, not at this radio station, but many, many years ago, a woman who is a... well, she doesn't describe herself as a prostitute, typically, because she doesn't do penetration. But she runs an outfit called Brighton Body Worship. And the website is something... Actually, I can't... If I do the website, then we're advertising service on the radio, and that's illegal.
Yes, I don't. It's a long way to go, though.
She's got an apartment.
But give us
and
the details
Mercedes.
Later.
I'll write it down for you. Yeah. She's got an apartment and a Mercedes by the pier in Brighton. Very glamorous and stuff. And I want to do this radio show because all of the pressure groups and all of the organisations who say that prostitution is a vile, horrible thing, they keep going, it's full of people who are forced into it. It's it helps jack up the drug trade, etc., etc., etc. And I desperately wanted to prove that that was not the case. Mm. Across the board for prostitution. Because if you read every newspaper, that's what they have you believe. You know, it's related to drugs and people trafficking and stuff. And there is an element of that, but it's not the case all the way around. I found this woman, and it was the most refreshing interview I did. Okay, and what she likes, she gives jobs, right? That's her speciality. And she'll cater to every, you know, particular fantasy or whatever. And she said, do you know what, darling? I'm 46. I want to retire when I'm 50. Mm-hmm. I've got this fabulous apartment. See this place here? Paid for.
Cash in
Mercedes outside? Yeah. Paid for. I've got the best part of £250,000 in the bank. It is mine. When I'm 50, that's it. I'm signing off back to Australia. I'm going to live in Sydney in a penthouse. It'll be mine. Job done. And I said, doesn't it bother you what people think? She said, it doesn't bother me in the slightest, because what I won't do is be violated by someone. I won't accept or will not be penetrated, but I will offer a service. I will make a man feel 100% by my, you know, my skills and expertise. Mm. I'm in control.
100%. How much does she charge?
Go and have a look at the website. It starts off at 300 quid a session.
I don't think people realise... 300 quid? Yeah, I don't think people realise how much prostitution is used. I really don't. Right across the board, from the clergy to politicians to businessmen to rich people to ladies. I don't
Absolutely.
Think people realise no. how big a business it is.
So why do people have a problem with it?
It's a need don't know. To be wanted. And
it's
one of the best
Victorian things. That Victorian attitude, you know, that still prevails today, isn't it? That thing of, why don't we, as a society, talk about sex? Why don't, you know, I mean, we're doing it now, we're having this conversation, but generally speaking, most people don't. What are they frightened of?
But you see, you take your girlfriend out for dinner and you buy her dinner and it's there, expect sex. Isn't that prostitution?
Do you really? Do you really? No, Pete, that's very generous.
No, I don't think, no.
That's, why?
No, I think that's a wrong thing to say.
Oh, you don't think there's girls?
He's
not there's girls that manipulate their boyfriends.
I'm sure there are.
I don't think...
To pay the meals.
From the male's point of view.
Paul, comment on
the real can you put your hand on your heart and say, as a man, that you have not taken a woman out for a really nice night out? You may have...
No.
Gone to the cinema.
No, you're lying.
Nice meal,
you're lying.
Done that, and then I actually expected a bit more than the peck and the
drive time.
You are a liar.
After news and sports,
you've invested 180 quid in a woman, and you don't expect a knee trembler at the end of the night. You liar.
A what?
Knee trembler.
A what?
You heard.
No,
knee
I'm
liar.
Sorry, I've never had a knee trembler in my life.
Well, you're not living properly.
No, I'm not going to have one either. No, I don't think I've been with a woman sexually before the fourth or fifth date, at least.
Oh, well, I can beat you on that. I haven't since I was 17.
Well, there you go. Then you're agreeing with me.
That's true. I've really
Do you know the biggest example of this is Steve McQueen, who had a terrible upbringing. His mother was a prostitute, actually.
Steve McQueen.
And he was never wanted, and he was beaten when he was a young kid between the ages of 3, 4 till he was about 14, 15, ran away from home. And when he actually gained his independence, he went to 2 or 3 prostitutes a day because he wanted to feel wanted. He wanted to be needed. Mm. And that's the whole point
of
prostitution.
How do you feel needed in that sort of situation? If you're not making an emotional contact, how do you feel needed?
There's a great story. You know Graham Greene, the guy who wrote Brighton Rock?
Yeah.
Graham Greene, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know you're an arts guru. I wasn't suggesting you didn't know who
Graham
Greene was.
Graham
Greene
was,
But Graham Greene, you know, he was a habitual user of prostitutes.
Yeah.
You did the research on this. This man had his top 12 favourite prostitutes in London. He used to give them nicknames. It was his hobby. Mm. But he could only do it. If you got a writer's block, he'd be sitting there thinking, oh, what the hell could I do? I'll go out and get he'd do that, come back, start writing again.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with
that. That's why the bosses of City Talk 105.9 should provide working girls on tap to help us do our talk radio shows.
Duncan, I'm glad you mentioned the name of the station, because I must remind people, you are listening to City Talk 105.9. This is called Battle of the Gobs. It's a one-off, it's an experiment, and I'm joined in the studio here by four of City Talk's biggest opinion makers. Can I call you that?
I was about to say that I know somebody who is extremely wealthy, a very, very beautiful young man, extremely attractive, and uses prostitutes all the time. And he says, I can't be bothered whining and dining. If I want to do it, I'll do it, pay it, and get it out of the way, and get on with my life.
There's a fantasy side to this
as
well.
What's going on in his life that he's not actually connecting with somebody emotionally?
Maybe he doesn't want to be connected. Well,
he wants to be free.
He has a lovely life. He doesn't want to be. He's got the money to do it. He pays for him.
If your wife won't dress up as a nurse and do what you want her to do, you go elsewhere to get it. It's as simple as that.
Hospital. Letitia went.
That's terrible.
Don't you persuade your wife that that's what you want. What if she doesn't do it for you? Go back to what we said before, with the influence of the church and all those sort of things, and it's dirty, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't behave that way. Mm. We're all still imbued with all of that. We are.
It is about communication.
It's the greatest art of all.
And to all you lovely listeners, a happy Christmas.
Or Easter.
Okay, you're talking about communication. Yeah. Okay, you're talking about communication. Mm. So if you've got a lover, whoever it may be, do you engage with them and say, look, what I want to do, what I would like to do, sex-wise or whatever, is that, this, that, and that, right?
What if you're not on the same sexual level as them?
But you draw them in, don't you? You always live in a fantasy world. You always live in that you're going to have the best sex when you're not with them.
No,
that's wrong.
Do you know they wouldn't do it and you respect that they wouldn't do it, therefore you don't ask them to do it. It's as simple as that.
Yes, of course. For the programmes I've done, one of the biggest no-nos ever is oral sex. Mm. There are many thousands and thousands of women that would never even consider it, even though they love their partner. And it is sad. There are many, many women out there that have never had an orgasm.
Because no one's actually said, come on, I'll lead you through this. Let's relax here and sit down and, like, you know, go through it together.
But people haven't got the confidence. Not everybody's got the confidence to do that.
I know they haven't, but they should have.
No, they shouldn't, because that's the way they're made.
If you're with a partner, for God's sake, you should be able to say whatever you want.
In the perfect world, you're right. In an ideal world, we're not.
Dean, you're the closest. Do you want to pull one out of the hat and see what it says?
Here you go.
Love it. I'll have a little rummage on here. Okay, here we go.
Cool.
Here we go. Jesus. What's your most embarrassing story?
Oh, God.
Anything spring to mind?
Can I tell two very quick ones?
Two for the price of one.
When I was at the Shakespeare, the compere there, and I did
off London Road, right?
Yep. And I did a bit of singing. And one night I was singing My Way, which was my big number, and I'd not been very well all day. And I was singing Now the End is Near, and I farted. But unfortunately, I followed through. I had three verses left. I fully farted and followed through. But felt at the back of my leg, it's starting to go down. So I'm saying to the band, faster lads, and now the end is near. And I was speeding. And I just got off as it appeared by my ankle on the bottom of my trouser leg.
Incredible.
That was one. The other one
How did you get off stage?
I said I speeded up.
But you walk your leg slowly because you know you can feel it going down.
Yeah. And I'd been ill all day, and of course the band had twigged and just thought it was the funniest thing ever. The audience hadn't. Who had to
wash your kegs?
Me, of course. Nobody else.
To wash your legs. So.
But the other one, which is a story that's in the book, and I never told it fully, so I shall tell it now. And this is a true story.
Is this an exclusive?
It's a lovely one. This makes me laugh. This. When I was young, I was fighting my sexuality, and we used to buy dirty books. And there was four lads, and we all had turns to buy them. We used to buy them from this shop near Grange Road, and they used to put them in a brown paper bag. If you look at them now, dirty books all those years ago were a joke. I mean, to what they are now, you know, you just couldn't get. If you saw the odd nipple, it was a dirty book. And it was my turn to buy the book. So I went home. and went upstairs. I was fighting my sexuality, and I'm looking at the pictures, and there's all these wonderful ladies.
You'd already bought the book.
I'd already bought the book, and I'm getting turned on, and I, then I got to the middle page, and there's my auntie with a name and address.
No.
To which...
No, your auntie.
To which I ran downstairs and went, Mum, with me keg still around my pants, and she went, you dirty little... And all my mates were so excited, and they said, let's go and see if she wants any messages. Let's go and do something. She told us she was a model. She didn't say what she was modeling. And she emigrated.
I've got two questions. What was your auntie's name?
Her name Dot.
Dot. And how old was Dot?
Did she know that you'd seen this?
How old was
Peter?
Dot?
I told her years later, oh, she was stunning, stunning.
Yeah, how old?
25, 26.
Oh, wow.
But stunningly beautiful. But I've still got the photo. I still, to this day,
can
on
you
the
bring
photo.
It in?
And what it is it's a fur jacket on the shoulder with just one nipple showing, and that was it.
Fantastic.
But it was her address. It was
brilliant.
Peyton Close, West Kirby. Dot Dodson, Peyton Close, West Kirby.
Dirty
she emigrated
dot.
After
dirty
that.
Dot. This dirty dude.
One of her Dodsons. Brilliant. Duncan, embarrassing story.
I have two. I've got two embarrassing stories. One, I'm going to bare my soul. I lost my virginity to a young farmer called Katie. And I did it in the ditch. And Katie was a young farmer. She was a fashion student. And I was 14 and she was 17. And I lost my virginity to this woman in a ditch outside a pub called the Maypole Inn in Yapton, which is what we do in the countryside where I come from. Ooh-ah. That's one embarrassing story because kind of it was...
It's not embarrassing. It sounds very tender.
Yeah,
it's very tender.
It's very loving.
And the only embarrassing story I have is when I have you heard of Madame Jojo's in London?
Yeah.
Right. I went when I was a little bit younger.
In Soho.
Yeah, a little bit younger than I am now. I used to, and I wasn't working in radio at the time, so I took a job which basically involved dealing with the media for a very large IT company, and they had their Christmas do at Madame Jojo's in Soho in London. And at which point in my life, I was quite naive. I wasn't really fully aware of what Madame Jojo's was about or the kind of unique people you might meet in Madame Jojo's. So I went in there, and a load of journalists, and we got very drunk, and there was the MD of the company. We carried on drinking, we got very drunk, and this voluptuous woman came up, and she put her arm around me. I'm talking amazing legs, amazing eyes, and I spent most of the evening talking to this woman, and I thought, because at the time I wasn't living in London, I had to get my last train home, and I thought, I want to get the number of this particular amazing woman, because I think my luck's in. And I wouldn't mind talking to her again. So when I asked her for her number, she wrote down Brian 01 206. So that was the story of my Madame Jojo's experience.
A certain actor you worked with in Brookside came to Madame Jojo's with me because we did a TV together. And I kept saying, it's not a woman.
No,
and the more drunk he got, he went, oh, it is. Yeah. It's not a woman. Yeah. And as far as I know, he did. Take her home.
No.
Oh, really? Oh, I'd love to know who that was.
Write it down.
I guess who it is.
You will not say it, any of them.
No, I can guess who it is. Yeah, before you even put the last letter on there. Yeah, got it.
Okay, Dean, embarrassing story?
Don't really have
no.
Do you have any embarrassing stories in Brookside?
Yeah, there must be some laughters there.
Really. Embarrassing? What's embarrassing? Don't know.
Oh, what's some hilarious moments?
I do remember doing a scene once. I used to have my character used to have a dog called Cracker. Cracker at one stage used to get more fan mail than me. You know, people absolutely loved this. But it was a great dog because it would always do what I told it to do, and you know, we had a great relationship. It was a dog and a half, and as much as I remember us doing one scene, myself and Mickey Stark. I was just with Mickey the other day, and he was on the show, and we were chatting away, and people said, oh, that's great, you know, you two, you just laugh all the time. I said, that's all we did. We used to get ordered off the set at times. They'd say, you two, get off set and stop laughing, you know, and go and sit down for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. But this dog, Cracker, we had this thing. Mickey and I were doing this really, really serious scene. And it was at the side of La Luth nightclub. Do you remember a piece of La Luth?
Yep.
And the scene started with the camera on the dog, right? And it just panned up to us two as we were talking. And then we'd reach our two faces and we were gabbing away, whatever. And halfway through this dog let off this fart that was like, do you know when they say it takes paint off the wall? It was literally
eyes
like that. And Mickey and I battled to get through the rest of the scene. It was a really serious scene. And we couldn't do it. We went, that dog stinks. Yeah.
Can I break a myth that nobody knew what really happened? When I was doing the breakfast show for 3 months on our sister station, Radio City, I needed a cup of tea, and because I was covering for somebody, and it was great, and I said, can we get a cup of tea? There's no milk. I said, I'll go out for some milk. So I, the presenter, went to Tesco's for some milk, and like it was 7 a.m, something like that. And I went in the lift, and it got stuck. And I'm terrified of closed spaces. And I was stuck in it for 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
This was before you all came. Now, picture this. I'm stuck in it for 2 hours, but they think it's the funniest thing ever. And they're announcing that a small, grey-haired old man has gone missing from the station, which I can hear, of course, as you know, we play it in the lift.
I've got
my mobile. I'm getting very cross. To which the engineer arrived to fix the lift, and I then heard them say on air, oh, by the way, have your breakfast first. He'll be all right in there by himself. And they left me in it. So, yes, listeners, there was a rumour. I peed, and when the lift finally came down, there was a bucket and a mop thrown in the lift.
Which lift is that, the left or the
left
one?
The left one.
I ain't going in there again.
Solid hours of breakfast I was stuck in that lift.
Did you not want to do a die-hard style kind of climbing up?
I wanted to climb up and grab someone's throat.
We will have more debate with our four titans of talk, who are Duncan Barks, Dean Sullivan, Paul Jacobs and Pete Price, coming up very shortly here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Pete Price, Dean Sullivan, Paul Jacobs and Duncan Barks. Battle of the Gods on City Talk 105.9.